Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and God bless you. This is Apostle Loretta Williams, and you're listening to Strengthening the Family. Amen. Praise God. And my topic for today is, Lord, give me the strength so I can help my family. Most of us are dealing with some kind of family drama. Sometimes it can be from siblings or even from your own children to the person you are married to. And then there's the extended family members. How do we handle all the problems that pertain to our family without losing our minds? So many of us feel depleted, feel drained, and frustrated, and we need help. Yet we can't turn to the ones who are needing us. So where do we go? Who is there for us in our time of need? Wow. I'm going to try to answer some of these questions on today. First, addressing some key issues. You can't, and when I say can't, you should not try to be the answer for everybody's problem. This is one thing that we do a lot of times in taking on burdens that God did not give to us. We just took it upon ourselves. I need to fix this. Mom and dad having a problem, I need to fix this. Sisters and brothers having problems, I need to fix this. We look at so many times how different family members, from our youngest to the oldest, are going through things that are difficult. And we feel obligated to help. I'm not saying that you shouldn't, but when it comes to the point that it's threatening your well-being, physically, spiritually, and financially, you need to learn when to say no. First thing, Lord, give me the strength so I can help my family. Learn how to say no. I remember, amen, praise God, I have a sibling, and I have brothers and sister-in-laws that are younger than me. And they were very dependent upon me and my children's father. Even my mother-in-law, we wound up taking care of two of my children's father's brothers. We're no longer married, but when we first got married, and when I tell you we were young, he was 20, I was 19. And we hadn't been married a year before we had both of his brothers and my brother, teenage boys, 15, 16. I think my brother was going on 17. Parents shipped them off because they got disrespectful. My mother put my brother out, told my dad he had to go because he was disrespectful. Either he got to go or I'm leaving. Well, guess who had to go? My brother. He got shipped up to Michigan where I was at. And my ex-husband, even though we was young, he was a disciplinarian because he had to deal with all of his siblings when he was at home. So now here it is, I'm the young wife. And instead of being able to focus on our marriage and enjoy our marriage, we got three teenage boys that we having to deal with. He put them all to work. All of them helped him. He had odd jobs for them to do around the house. He put them in school. You going to school if you live here. Got them registered in school. And the most importantly, they was all in church. All of them, because we were in church. We were both ministers. So, yes, the impact of them being in our household made a positive life change. But at the same time, it was a burden that we shouldn't have been obligated to carry. Because that's what it was. It was an obligation. It was not our responsibility. It was the parents' responsibility. Neither one of the parents had died. My father had an option. Take my brother down to one of the homes or whatever, you know. But he chose to send him up to Michigan. And then shortly after that, when my brother turned 17, was going on 18, he went to stay with a male relative until he got on his own. Somewhere we have to learn how to say no when it interferes with your family life, when it interferes with the things that is causing confusion in your house between you and your husband. You know, then after we got rid of the three brothers, next comes the nieces and nephews. I can go back. I can tell you, I have so many people in and out my house because we was in church. So next we wound up having a niece and a nephew. And then my nephew was back and forth from the time he was in elementary school all the way to high school. He was staying with us. When I think back, we always had a big home, a big family home, and somebody was always living in that house. But see, I didn't come from a big family. My ex-husband, my children's father, came from a big family. And big families help one another, at least where in the day that I know. They support and they help one another. And God has to give you the strength to deal with a lot of these issues. Because I know he did with me. We didn't have a lot of privacy in our home because we always had somebody staying with us. That meant we had mouths to feed, extra bills, especially when you're dealing with minors. We had temperaments to deal with, and we were young. I didn't have any children, and I didn't have any children for almost, we had been married a year before I even got pregnant. But by the time I had my son, we had to make some decisions. Now, we cannot help everybody. Because your responsibility is this child that's coming into the world. You're going to have to learn how to say no to your family. Oh, I know this is a tough lesson on today. You're going to have to learn to say no. I'm going to have to learn. My brother, you got to go. I got a baby coming. So he went and found a place to stay with another male relative. I have to look out now for my child. Because that's my responsibility. That's my obligation as a parent. And I'm going to tell you, I see so many saints of God taking care of everybody else but their own children. You neglect your own. How can you love somebody else's child more than you love your own? Well, you don't know my children, Apostle. You just don't know. They just give me fits. My daughter is doing that. My son is doing this. But they're yours. God gave them to you. And it's your responsibility. If you don't know how to deal with them, amen, praise God, start going to some seminars. We're going to have some seminars in October on strengthening the family. And we always have some good seminars. I tell you, we have some books, amen, praise God, that will help you. Satan, you can't have my children. Pruning your family tree and purging your house. That's just a couple of them. Woman, thou art loose. See, you need to not only just read your Bible, but you need to get any type of material and resources that can teach you how to deal with the problems that you're facing. I'm so grateful, amen, when I finally found some workshops and some seminars to go to on marriage. Because when my marriage started having issues and problems and I tried to talk to people about it, they did not give me good sound counsel. I got everything, well, you need to leave them. Yeah, I was told some of everything. Well, he ain't saved, or he didn't backslid. I don't expect for you to put up with that. Well, what do the words say? If the unbelieving depart, let him depart. But if he pleased to dwell with you, let him stay. A lot of times we receive ungodly counsel. I want to read from you Genesis, the 12th chapter, about a man who had to make some decisions based on what God said. We need to make some decisions based on what God is saying. In Genesis, the 12th chapter, it says, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. But the first requirement that the Lord gave in the hand Abraham, he was Abram at that time, is you need to get away from your kinfolk. There's a lot of times, amen, we just need to separate ourselves. Have some time by ourselves. You can't think. You're so overwhelmed, you can't think. This is why I know a lot of women run to church. When I say run, I mean they run to church because it's an outlet. Oh, God, let me please get to church so I don't have to deal with this mess. And, you know, I've had women that I see when they go to church on Sunday morning, they don't come home till late Sunday night. And they got families, they got husbands, they got children. But they're running from that responsibility. They're running from that obligation. They're running from that drama. I'm not dealing with it. I'm taking the day off. I'm going to be with the Lord, and I just got to have some time for myself. Okay, that's fine, but let me tell you something. Let me make it real plain to you. You go to church, you get fed, you get ministered to, you get strengthened, amen. But that same problem that you left, it's going to be that when you get back. So what you have to do is that when you go to church, make sure, amen, that you are strengthened so that when you go back home, you can put things in order and deal with whatever situation that was causing you to get vexed and frustrated. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. There's too many times I went to church crying. I went to church angry. I went to church so wounded and hurt and ashamed that I didn't even want people to look at me, let alone say anything. I couldn't even go up to the altar because I was ashamed of what I was dealing with at home. I went to church tired, so tired that I fell asleep while the preacher was preaching because I hadn't gotten no sleep for crying the last night. Oh, let me help you. Know the condition that people are coming when they come to you or they come in God's house. That's why we got to be careful how we treat people. You don't know why that sister, amen, it may not be that they don't want to hear what you got to say. It may be that this is the first time they've had some peace and quiet in a whole week and they get in God's presence and the Spirit of the Lord, the presence of the Lord just rocked them right on into in a restful state. I know because it happened to me. Oh, my God. It used to be so peaceful. I hated to leave the church. I've known times where I've gotten in my car and just drove up to the church on the day we wasn't having service and just sat in the parking lot. This was before I started pastoring. Because, see, when I started pastoring and I had a church building, the church was open every day through the week. I had a church secretary, and I would go to the church office. The kitchen would be open. I had a kitchen in there. Amen. People could come if they was hungry. They could sit down. They could have a cup of coffee, some donuts, some fresh fruit. We'd have total strangers just come in, amen, praise God, and talk something like, my daddy's coffee house up in Michigan. Just come in and sit and talk. Is Apostle, Pastor Williams, with Pastor Williams in, she's in her office. I would always have some of the women that was not working. That was not working. I'd have them come down to the church on different days. Maybe you couldn't be there every day, but I started having prayer at the church every day. Morning prayer and noon prayer. You would be surprised. I'd have people come off their lunch break and come in for prayer 10 or 15 minutes. Had some music playing in the sanctuary. They could go in and pray. And then I started having the pastor's kitchen would prepare a lunch, cold and hot lunch, and they could go and they could eat and go back to work. I made it a sanctuary, a place of refuge. We need a place where we can find refuge. And sadly, most of our churches is not here because they close all through the week. There's nowhere for people to go. So then you got to find that secret place, honey. You got to find that place where ain't no family, ain't no friends. If it's your prayer closet or if it's a walk in the park, amen, praise God, or go sitting by a pool or some water. Or, one of the things I used to love is I would go to the Y Center every Saturday morning to do swimming aerobics with the seniors. And just being in that water, I mean, I had to be at class at 9 in the morning, which means I had to get up, get down to the pool. But once I got in that water, oh, such a peace enveloped me. And then a lot of times after the class was over, I'd just stay and just swim. I'm not a good swimmer, but I would just stay and play in the water. And it changed my whole day. Because I had taken some time to give myself some peace of mind. You need to have peace. How can you minister to your family when you have no peace? How can you be of any influence to your family when you have no peace? The word said, my peace I give unto you. You can't help nobody in the midst of confusion. And a lot of times when you don't know what to do, the best thing to say is, amen, I'm going to deal with this later. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God bless Abram. And he said, everybody that be around you going to be blessed because I'm going to make you a great nation. When people find out you blessed, they want to be around you. I went from having a three-story home to ain't no home. And from having no home, when I say no home, I mean I did not have a place of my own. I lived with family for 6 years. And when I finally got this little place that I'm staying in now, I was so grateful just for these three or four rooms I got. I was so grateful. I got a place I can have some peace, some quiet. I can meditate when I feel like it. If I want to get up in the middle of the night, turn the light on, read my Bible, watch TV, play some music, I ain't got to answer to nobody. I ain't got the baby sleep, my husband sleep, my dog sleep. It's just me and the Lord. And I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. I can be, amen, praise God, in my own element. Sit in the bathtub as long as I want to without somebody knocking on the door saying they got to use the bathroom. This is some of the things that people are going through. And this is why they feel so depleted and drained and frustrated. Because you have no time for yourself. You're giving all of your time out to family and to loved ones. You don't have any time to pamper yourself. You know, one of the things I said I'm going to do in the month of October, I had a member in my church, and this member said, Pastor, I'm going to pay for you to have a manicure and a pedicure once a month. I'm giving money to you. And it's not my offering. It's just so you can have some time to relax. But once a month, I did two things. I got my hair fixed at the beautician. Because the beauty shop I went to in Michigan, they had a nail technician there too. And I mean, I got the chip nails. The no-chip nails, the acrylic. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I got the acrylic nails. So you got to upkeep them. And this sister paid every month. She said, when your appointment, Pastor Wynn? I tell her, she makes sure I have that money. I got my hair done, my nails done. And that went on for a long time. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And I'm telling you, I look so forward. Because once I got my hair and my nails done, and Lord, if I get a pedicure, oh, I'm ready to go somewhere. Usually I would go out to lunch with friends, or I treat my own self to the movie. Don't need nobody. Go to the movies myself, get some popcorn, and have me a beautiful evening. And people are like, how could you do that? Because I value my own self-worth. There has to be some time for you. I can't minister and continually give of myself and be depleted. And that's what some of you are doing. You don't take any time for yourself. You cease to care how you look. Lord, I run around here. Amen. Praise God. I used to care about my appearance, put my makeup on my face, my jewelry, you know. And my clothes weren't the latest, but I fixed myself up even before I would go to pick my children up from school because I didn't want to embarrass them. I wasn't looking for no man. I was doing it for me. When are you going to do something for yourself? How can you continually ask God to help you, to help your family, when you don't ask him to help you for you? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let me close out by saying I've watched young mothers just give of themselves. When you get done dealing with the baby, then you got a demanding husband. And this is why so many of them are worn out and tired, and then the man got the nerve to say to them, you don't fix yourself up no more. You don't do this. Well, why don't you come home and stay with the baby so I can go out and have a girl's night out, or I can go and have some time where I ain't hearing the baby hollering or changing diapers. I mean, you got to have some time where you can function as a person without little hands and little feet. Mommy, mommy, mommy. They ain't hollering for daddy. Mommy, mommy, mommy. I want to close out with that. Lord, give me the strength so I can help my family. Amen. Ask God to help you. Ask him to help you. Ask him to give you the scripture.